Don't touch that dial. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
My ears are blown.
come on.
Oh, listen up. Jesus is on the air.
You're wasting our minutes here, Palmer.
Oh, Tony, what am I going to do? I'm going to need a hearing aid.
I'll foot the bill. Don't worry.
Hey,
and that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
We certainly do, and if we can ever get our hearing back again, we're going to praise him every chance we can. Oh, but Lord, please heal my ears. Please heal my ears, Lord, please. Hey, Tony, Freddy Krueger is here today.
We got Freddy baby.
Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street is here. Freddy, would you say a word?
Good morning, gentlemen, and it's a pleasure to be here. And if you try to change your radio station, I will be your worst nightmare.
Oh, thank you, Freddy.
But it's not Freddy Krueger. It's Freddy Krueger.
That's right. You might be crude, but I'm cruder.
Well, you know, people, listeners, we have something very, very special today, as we try to have every Saturday. You know, we have a number of priests in our diocese who are growing older. Thank God you and I aren't.
Oh, thank the Lord, we're still young.
Yeah, but they go to a home in where is it?
In Amityville, the St. Pius X residence.
In Amityville. And there are 12 priests there, you said?
15.
15. And Freddie has a ministry that he started. Tell us a little bit about it. It's
well,
fascinating.
I guess I got to give you a little bit of background about myself. Priests have always been influential in my life, and you know, God has spoken to me through these priests in a big way. When I was, I grew up in Queens. I moved to Belmore when I was 8 years old, right across from St. Barnabas Church, and became an altar boy. And I had a daily news route, and I used to serve the 6:30 Mass every day. And so priests were always involved in my life. I went to St. Pius X Prep Seminary in Uniondale, and there I was exposed to great priests that really had influence on me when I went through tough times in my life. They were always there for me. One of them was Father Basil Calicito, who passed away. Yeah, he passed away recently, and actually, he was at the St. Pius Center, and that's how I found out about it after he passed away. So, in honor of him, I wanted to visit the priests that remained in that residency.
And that's how you started?
That's how I started. So I was a member of the Cure of Ours men's group in Cure of Ours America, and basically got some of the men to come with me and do regular visits to visit the priests.
You know, Fred, this is a ministry that's not spoken too much about. You don't hear too much about this ministry. But, you know, I'm reflecting, I'm getting in my head what Jesus said. Have you fed my sheep? Have you clothed my sheep? Have you fed me? Have you clothed me? And priests represent Jesus, and that's just what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. But I don't do this, you know, to say that I'm doing anything great, because what I get out of it from the visits is greatly outweighs what I put into it.
You were mentioning before the show began that it's kind of a culture shock for the priests. Maybe you could tell the audience a bit about it.
Yeah, well, a lot of these priests have been in the parishes for 50, 60 years, and now because of some medical condition, you know, they can't be on their own. And so they're assigned to the residency where they're treated very, very well. The food is fantastic, and I know I've shared a lot of lunches and dinners with them there, and they're taken care of. But their exposure to people, like you would get, you know, in a parish that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's a lot less. So they're a little more isolated. I wouldn't say completely isolated, but people really don't know they're there, so they don't get the visitors that they would get if they were in the parish.
Or not what they're usually used to when they run a regular parish.
Right. So a lot of them go through where they don't feel like they're useful.
Yeah.
and they are beyond means. The incredible.
Tony and I go through that every day.
Yeah, we do.
We wonder. Well, we know we're not useful.
We all do as we get older. You know, we can't do the things that we used to do anymore.
Oh, it's not due to age. We're the young kids on the block. Don't you realize?
Well, we're just two young kids in love with Jesus.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't mean it. I interrupted it. But that's all right.
But his name's not Kevin. See what I mean about you getting old?
There you go.
Fred. Right, Fred.
That's it. That's it. I'm going to haunt you tonight.
Uh-oh.
Hey, you don't mind him. He's old.
But, you know, so they, but the incredible amount of knowledge and love that's in this place,
sure.
I've experienced firsthand. They're amazing, a group of priests, and they still have so much to offer. And one of the things, Father Tom Mulvernity is the person who, Monsignor Tom, runs it, and he emphasizes to them that even though physically they can't get out there, they can still pray. And they pray for our society, they pray for individuals, they pray for the church, and it carries a lot of weight. It really, really does. You know, it fills their life up, and it makes it good.
What are some of the things you do with them when you visit?
Well, you know, when we started...
Not only you, I know the prayer groups do, right?
Yes. Well, one of the things I did was I reached out to several of the men's prayer groups in neighboring parishes, and one of them from St. Rosa Lima, the Men of Solidarity, took on a commitment to them and actually go with their wives every Saturday night. A different couple will take a different night and bring hors d'oeuvres and stay with them for dinner and just, you know, commune with them and talk with them. And it's, what a great experience. Every single one of those guys and couples that go come back shaking their heads. Like, the time went so fast. I can't believe it. You know, that they're just filled with the Holy Spirit.
Now, this is just one place that you go to, though, right?
Yes.
How many places are there that have housings for retired priests, infirm priests?
You know, most of them are concentrated here on a diocesan level. I'm sure that they're in every diocese, there's similar type places.
But there's a need for this ministry, a crying need for this ministry.
Yes, yes. You know, and it's not anything that I feel like I'm giving of myself. I feel more that I'm getting more out of it than anything else.
Oh, absolutely.
And you do a movie night, you said.
Yeah, I do Sunday afternoon at the movies, and I started that maybe a few months ago. And I bring a different movie every Sunday, and popcorn and candy and sugarless candy for the guys who are diabetics. And, you know, we'll sit and watch the movie and then discuss it afterwards. And it's a great experience.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah.
No charge. Can John and I go?
Sure. Sure. They have a nice lounge where they can sit, you know, comfortably and watch the movies. And we discussed about... you know, how they would like to really go out and see movies, you know, outside. So we got ambitious, and we took several of them to see For Greater Glory a couple of weeks ago, a 3 o'clock show over in Farmingdale right near the residency, and they all had a great time and enjoyed it, and
wow.
It was a great experience, yeah.
And each one of them has a life story.
Yes, and as we get to know them, it's incredible, and just to give you an example, Father Tom Donahoe, who just passed away recently, was one of the priests I would visit with. And he, once we got to know him, showed his human side. And, you know, he would help out at his old parish down in Long Beach. And but he hadn't preached in a long time, and he was nervous about it. And he asked us to pray with him, you know, prior to this one Sunday. And he also shared with us, he was a big stamp collector. And he would get stamps every month on consignment and, you know, buy the ones he wanted. But what he would do, and he told us, he would look at the countries that these stamps were from and pray for the people of those countries.
Wow.
And then he would bless the stamps that he didn't take and sent them back and pray that whoever they hands they ended up with, that Jesus would bless them. Wow. And here's something that, you know, a priest retired, physically challenged, who really couldn't get around, you know, with some medical issues, but the greatness of what they could still do and how they can impact everything It's just incredible. And that's just one story of what I've experienced in this place.
Now, there are priests that don't have any families there, I imagine. Don't have anyone to visit them. It wasn't for you guys?
Well, you know, a lot of their families, because they've been priests for 55, 60, 65 years, a lot of their family's gone.
Gone.
Yeah. So, I mean, they do have family members that visit, but, you know, again, it's if they're as same age or up in age as they are, it's probably difficult for that to happen, too. You know, it's just, like I said...
I'm very impressed with this ministry.
Me too.
And with you.
And really you have a wonderful plaque there. Would you just share with the audience, the listeners,
well,
what that
plaque is
about?
Well, we're having a picnic today to honor the priests and actually the men of Solidarity from St. Rosa helping out. It's going to be at Dominican Village. And we're going to honor the priests with a plaque. Basically, it's honoring their years of service to God. Your faithful service has been a generous gift to the church. May the Lord bless you with abundant joy, just as you have blessed so many in your priestly ministry. And there's a Bible verse on here from Timothy 1:12. It says, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service.
Wow.
So each priest will get that
who
as a gift.
Who is that plaque for?
Well, this one is for Father John McCabe, who was ordained June 4th, 1955. So he's had 57 years of service to God.
Wow. Now, is every priest going to get a plaque? Or
every priest will get a plaque. And I hope they're not listening because I want them to be surprised. if you're
listening and you shouldn't
surprised.
Be, you're not going to get a plaque.
It's also Father John Dreb's birthday today. He's 92. He's one of the priests in residence there. He is another incredible person. He reads 4 or 5 books at a time a week. And, you know, I supply him. I'll go to Barnes & Noble and get all the bargain books and get a bag full of them and what I think he would like. And and within a week, he's had them all read.
Wow.
He's incredible. The knowledge that these priests have and the love that they have, it's just incredible experience.
And Monsignor Tom Costa works with the priest there. He became a nurse to serve them.
Yes, he comes, I believe, every Friday. And, you know, the patience that man has, he's what a great priest, but he cares for them. He genuinely loves those priests, and they genuinely love him back. He's, you know, an unbelievable person, too.
And he's multilingual.
Yeah, he is. In fact, one of the priests there, Father Jim Hannon, speaks 6 different languages and has offered Mass in 6 different languages.
Amazing.
One of the movies I showed was The Way, and that's, you know, the walk of St. James and through Europe, and at the end they end up at the Church of St. James, and Father Hannon was actually over in Spain and visited that church and did part of the walk, and he was able to relate his personal experiences to us and the other priests, you know, when the movie was over, exactly how beautiful the experience was in the church itself, and just the experience of meeting the pilgrims that make the walk.
Now, I'd love, Tony, for you and I to take a trip.
What?
And interview the priests that are there, because their life stories have got to be wonderful.
Absolutely.
You know, and not only that, but the impact that they could have on our young people who are discerning vocations, because they're so down to earth, and, you know, there are certain things that you can go through. It doesn't matter what time that you're living in, that those experiences are the same. And discerning the vocation is one of those experiences. And any young men out there who are discerning the priesthood should meet these priests.
Oh,
and just, you know, because did they ever have doubts? Sure they had doubts on whether or not they got the calling. But they can relate, you know, that how they overcame those doubts, and when did they really know, and how did they know?
That's a great idea.
And they've also encountered hardships in their lives.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. And relied on Jesus and the power of the Spirit to carry them through. Tony, I think we should plan to do that.
I think you got a good idea there, Palmer.
Well,
yeah, let's
every now
do it.
And
you finally come up with a good idea. Can you get that set up for us?
Sure. I'll talk to.
Okay.
I'll put you in touch with Father Tom Olvernity.
Great. That'd be wonderful.
On a Friday afternoon, we'd be able to do it.
Yeah.
That's the best time. Yeah.
That's
right?
When he's at his liveliest. when he's got all his medicines.
If you catch me Friday afternoon between 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, that's I'm pretty best. Lively. But that's the rest of the week, forget about it.
Great idea, Palmer. I love that. Yep.
Yeah. And Fred, how did you get into this, though?
Well, again...
I know from St. Pius.
From St. Pius. And when Father Calicito, who helped me through a really hard time when my grandmother died, I was in high school, and I really had a tough time, and he really helped me through that. And I never forgot that. And after he passed away, you know, I couldn't visit him, but I could visit these guys.
Okay. It's really... And how receptive was the men's prayer group?
Very receptive. Oh. Several of the guys go on a regular basis. One of them, I have to mention by name, Joe Vakota, who is in his 80s and is probably in better shape than I am. He's an incredible person, and he comes with me regularly to visit the priests. And, you know, we both know that we're doing something special, because what we receive back from them, the love, the prayers, you know, that we ask them always to pray for us. That's all we want, you know. And I know that they do, and on a regular basis. And we could feel the power of that prayer.
Absolutely.
In our own lives.
Not only do they know, and do you know, but Jesus knows, because you're doing Jesus's request.
You know, I'd like the listeners to join us in a prayer for these men, in thanksgiving for all that they have done for us in their lives.
I was going to ask you when the song is coming, Palmer.
Here's John Michael Talbot, Abba Father.
We are the clay. The work of your
And that prayer goes out for all of our priests.
Absolutely.
So many of them do things that are completely out of sight from the general public. For example, Fred, last night Tony and I went to a healing service, a mass, at St. Aidan's in Williston Park. Now, there must have been a couple of hundred people there, but we had six priests and a deacon, all from the hospital ministry, and the six priests were all from Africa. And it was wonderful. Here they are in our country as missionaries ministering to us.
Yes, and the deacon was a regular guest on our show.
Yeah,
Deacon Jock.
Jock, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they do so many things like that.
And you never hear about it or read about it.
No.
You only hear about the controversial stuff.
Yes.
Of a few, and you don't hear what the many do. And it's just, incredible. We need to talk about it.
Yeah,
we need to tell people, you know, we have a beautiful faith.
Yeah.
And big part of that are these priests who have you know, really, I mean, I've been touched. I've been so blessed by priests in my life. And I know that many people out there have too. And, you know, we don't hear about it enough. And
when my wife's mother died, Father Bennett, who was our pastor, came and stayed with my wife all night long, you know. And anyway, I'm sure he went about his business the next day. He's Monsignor Bennett now, and he's in Hicksville as a pastor. But he stayed the whole night with my wife, and that was so comforting to her, you know.
And think about what these priests have given up, but also think about what they have gained. But they've given up family life. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me," they did the same thing, and they devoted their whole lives to serving people.
And they made their commitment, and that's why what we're doing today for them, to honor their 57, 65, whatever amount of years that it is, it's just incredible that they've, the longevity of what they've done and faithfully done.
And you know what I think is wonderful? The beauty of God's grace, that they not be forgotten.
Oh.
So men like you and couples that you have contact with come back and say, "Hey, we love you. Thank you.
Yes.
We love you. Thank you." It's such a wonderful, wonderful ministry. But Tony, we're going to go there.
Yes, absolutely we'll go. Absolutely, Palmer. I'll drive. I don't trust you. But the idea is that what you're doing is so wonderful. But it's a mere pinch compared to what's really needed to be done.
Yes.
Right? How many priests are there that are lonely, that are old, that are infirm, that need people like you to reach out to them? It's amazing.
Well, there are several that are over in Consolation, right by Good Sam, which is a nursing home, that need total care. And that's where they would go from the St. Pius residency if they ever needed that total care. And it's tough to even get over to visit them, and people don't know that they're there.
Right.
There is a need out there, and, you know, always looking for volunteers to help out. We had someone donate a lift chair to us, which we actually worked with somebody, had it recovered, and it was in good condition, and donated to the priests, because they're in need of certain items like that.
I got a prayer this morning, and I just got to throw it out. It's not discerned, and maybe Palmer, you could get confirmation, but I got in prayer this morning the words, "Adopt the priest."
Hmm.
And now, so I'm saying, adopt the priest. So maybe if we all thought of a priest that's elderly or needs some sort of help, and we sort of like adopt them and become a good friend to them and visit them and help them, and I think that would be a great ministry.
I have a funny story to tell you about that. Not adopting a priest.
Oh, you're going to steal the thunder.
No. But during the year of the priests, you know, I coordinate the prayer groups. They run themselves in the diocese.
Does a good job, too.
Yeah, but we ask them, "Would you please step forward and say thank you to the priest for his vocation?" Right? And then, of course, I said, I better practice what I preach. So we have this one priest had in our parish, young guy, nice guy. And I stepped down the stairs after Mass, and I come up and I said, Father, and he looked at me and said, I want to thank you for your vocation. He said, huh? I said, I want to say thank you for remaining true to your vocation and being a priest. He said, huh? Well, it isn't me. I said, yes, it is, Father. You're responding. You're responding to the call of Jesus. Absolutely. And look at, there are 3,000 families in our parish. Look at the people you're touching. Thank you. And he kind of put his head down like a little kid and moved away. Like, please don't embarrass me anymore.
That's the beauty of most priests. They're so humble.
Humility.
Yeah, humility.
The humility, especially in this place, they don't know what they have there. It's really the lessons that they've taught me, just experiencing them. It's the humility that they show towards each other, towards everybody they come in contact with. They'll always put you first, always, and always put themselves second.
And you have a saint of the day, and
yes.
I won't steal your thunder, but I know it's St. John Vianney.
Yes, it is. It is St. John Vianney. And why? Why did I choose St. John Vianney? This, you know, I worked on it last night about 10:30, and I worked on it this morning. And then I realized St. John Vianney, he depicts so much of us. And he actually depicts and lived in a time that where the Catholic Church was attacked during the French Revolution. And it so reminded me of what's starting to maybe hope not happen in our country today, and brought to mind the fortnight of prayer that's happening, where each parish is asked to say a rosary. But I'm going to tell you what could happen when the church gets attacked in his life story.
Go ahead.
St. John Vianney was born on May 8th in 1786 in a French town and was baptized the same day that he was born. Parents had 6 children, and they were very religious. And so that religiousness and their poorness and their faith rubbed off on him. As a matter of fact, they were so religious that they gave hospitality to St. Benedict, Joseph Labouré. And you know who he is? He's the patron saint of tramps, homeless, and beggars. He passed through their town many times going to Rome, and whenever he passed, he stopped at their house and was given hospitality. And so, St. John Mary Vianney came from a very pious family. In studying his childhood, it showed that he possessed a strong devotion to Mary and the Rosary, as well as a strong spirit of self-sacrifice and self-denial for the love of God in his earliest years of life. And it just so happened that he became of age during the turbulent years of the French Revolution. And St. John Vianney was also known as a cure of all saint. And he's the patron saint, of course, of priests. And during his lifetime, he witnessed, during the French Revolution, persecution of priests, saw them go on to the guillotine for their faith because they were Catholics, saw them being persecuted, saw the churches being closed and demolished. And so he said to himself as he was growing up, I'm going to save souls. And so even as a kid, and they were playing in the streets, he got all his little friends gathered around him, and he started giving them sermons, long sermons that the kids got tired and walked away, and he still kept continuing to give a sermon and praying and showing his faith to Jesus. And in the fact that all the churches were closed down, there were a problem in finding priests and finding churches. And so his family went to Mass in secret, and yet his closeness to Mary carried him peacefully through the awful time. He possessed a priestly heart, and from the beginning there was no longer a parish in his town. But when the day's work was gone, he completed what he had to do, And he went out there looking for souls to save. He became a major soldier in Jesus' army. He would teach other boys about God, as I mentioned. When St. John Vianney was a priest and became a priest, two important truths came to be glad, and he developed them. He leads the way to the heroic sanctity of by demonstrating the importance of growing in virtue by imitating the lives of Jesus and Mary, which you can do through the meditations of the Rosary. He practiced self-denial and the spirit of sacrifice, especially during times of persecution and trouble. It is known that St. John Vianney would spend up to 18 hours a day in the confessional. His flock found Jesus in him because, like Mary, he became a reflection of Jesus. This reflection gained the attention of the evil one, the devil, as well. And he was tormented by the devil because of many souls he brought to God. Some of the most amazing stories of his life tell of his horrible torment. He was attacked by the devil physically, psychologically, emotionally, and even spiritually. These attacks occurred most often at night. He heard loud, violent noises, and at one time his bed was actually set on fire. The devil tortured and tempted him for 35 years. But he never broke. St. John Vianney's mission was to win souls of God, and he actually ward off that devil. As a parish priest of the parish of Ars, he realized that the revolution had resulted in religious ignorance due to the destruction of the Catholic Church in France. He discovered that his parishes would rather work in the field and dance in the saloons rather than go to church. He was distressed. He spent time in the confessional and gave homilies against the blasphemy of dancing rather than going to church. His parishioners all liked to go dancing rather than go to church, and became famous throughout the region for his judgment of faith, and was known far and wide as a cure of Ars, as France in the town he spent 40 years faithfully ministering to the people. At the age of 73, on August the 4th, he died. The bishop presided over his funeral with 300 priests and more than 600 people. Before his burial, he was fitted with a wax mask. Biographers recorded miracles performed throughout his life. He had supernatural knowledge of the past and future and could heal the sick, especially the children. But this was God's reward for his faithfulness and his forwardness and his love. Today, 150 years after his death, his body is incorrupt and is there as the first day when he died. He's so revered that Pope Benedict, 2 years ago, announced the year of the priest and used St. Vianney as the patron for the priest.
And of course, we have Curia of Ars, where your prayer group is.
Absolutely. Right.
And a few years ago, Father Charles had the relic.
The heart.
The heart.
Oh, it was
what
incredible.
Was that?
We were allowed to display John Vianney's heart, which is incorrupt. And
can you believe that? How many years ago was that, Tony?
150 years ago.
And the heart is still...
But his whole body is incorrupt. But that's God's way of saying to John, thank you, John. Thank you for your love and thank you for your faith.
Yes. Now
tell us what happened, though. Did you see anything?
Yes. There were lines out the church.
10,000 people went there.
To Sunrise Highway at times, which is several blocks away, just to get into the church to see the relic of St. John Vianney. It was an incredible experience. I have goosebumps going up and down my arm and behind my neck right now, just even remembering it.
And to touch something like that, I don't know whether you're allowed to touch it or...
No, it was in a glass.
In a glass.
In
a
glass,
yeah.
Case, but you were able to view it and come this, within a few inches away. And it was just an incredible thing. Incredible thing.
And here was a little parish priest.
Yeah.
Who had such a significant effect on so many people.
I heard the story about him that... he was at the bottom of his class and failed several times, and they finally just ordained him because they kind of felt sorry for him. And ours was the poorest parish in France.
Yes, it was.
And so they said, well, you probably can't do anything wrong. We'll put you over here. And he turned it into the richest parish.
What happened was, yes, he went to ours. And when the pastor left ours, he became the pastor. And he turned the parish upside down and inside out. He did a great job.
And if you read anything about his own writings, he'll tell you, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm leaving it all up to God.
Well, neither does John or I know what we're doing, and we're just leaving it up to Jesus.
There you go. And that's it. And that's a great lesson. You know what? Don't be afraid to do something just because you don't know exactly what you're doing. We need to rely on the Lord.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, there was another priest that comes to mind that also was very, very powerful and still is powerful today. And that's Father Louis de Montfort.
Father de Montfort, so influential.
Had such a devotion to the Blessed Mother. And the reason why I bring him up, because it was also during a heresy time, and his consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary as a preparation to go through Mary to Jesus turned areas around and really fought against those heresies. However, I want to bring it up for this reason. Father Roy at the shrine, I was out there a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, and he showed me the new book that's been come out just now for the consecration, preparation for the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, so that you go through Mary to Jesus. And I looked at it. I said, wow, this is really quite something I would like to recommend to all our listeners. You can get the book at Advent Bookstore. The consecration, the preparation for the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, so that you go through Mary to Jesus. It's the 33 days where you commit yourself to prayer. And the first week, first section, is on knowledge of self. And really, it's a way to purge what's going on in yourself and to begin to change your life. The second stage is knowledge of Mary, where you begin to get a devotion, a deep devotion to Mary. And the last stage is knowledge of Jesus. But it's not just 33 days. If you really commit to doing this and say the prayer for the consecration at the end, preferably with a priest or maybe through your prayer group with a priest, whatever, it becomes a way of life, because each day begins with Come Holy Spirit and a prayer to Mary, surrender to Mary. And then there is a scripture quote, and then there's a quote from Louis de Montfort's writings, and then there's a question, so that he encourages people to journal. Absolutely. And journaling is a wonderful way to belong to Jesus more deeply, because when you set time aside and you sit down and you reflect on the words of scripture, and you reflect on what Louis de Montfort said, you can't help but go deeper and deeper and deeper into that relationship with Jesus, which is so important.
And I have to tell you, I did do it, John.
You did?
Yes, and it is somewhat revealing and life-changing. And journaling is the most wonderful thing I've ever found.
It is. And you know, I did it under the old little book.
That's right.
Father Roy said that was just kind of a collection of prayers. But this book was written by a Montfort priest.
Oh.
And it really is spectacular. That's the only way to say it.
And
I know I'm giving a commercial. Yes.
It's an unsolicited commercial, by the way.
Yeah. Preparation for consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and then to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And as you work through that for 33 days, listeners, I will guarantee you that your life will change. It can't help but change.
Absolutely. And you can get at Advent Shop. That's an unsolicited commercial. And if Advent likes the commercial, they could sponsor us.
I'd like to stop for a moment and ask our listeners to listen to this Jesus prayer in music, and so that you can perhaps make a commitment to following Father Louis de Montfort, the Curia of Ars.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinful one. sinful one.
You know, I guess we've been talking about how complete relaxation and surrender to the presence of Jesus in your life can change the world. You know, women have menopause. We all know that, right? And they get hot flashes. Well, men who are listening, I am going today to introduce divinopause. And that's where you will get hot flashes from Jesus in your life. And as I was sitting here, I was given a hot flash so that my friend Tony didn't want to read this, but I'm going to read it, Tony. Thank you for the hot flash. I haven't had one in a long time.
Well, I thought I'd give you the honor to read it, John.
And it's the prayer Prayer for priests through the intercession of St. John Marie Vianney. St. John Marie Vianney is a true example, as you have heard, of a pastor at the service of Christ's flock. Can you imagine sitting, listening to confessions for 18 hours a day? You know, I can almost say, you know, somebody coming in, you did what? What's the matter with you? And you're having trouble? Of course you're having trouble. How stupid can you be? Excuse me, he didn't say that. He was very patient and loving. So we're going to say this prayer. It's his prayer for priests. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our faithful priests and bishops whose spiritual father, an example of fidelity, self-sacrifice, and devotion is so vital to the faith of your people. May our spiritual fathers be guided by the example of St. John Vianney. Give them valiant faith in the face of confusion and conflict, hope in time of trouble and sorrow, and steadfast love for you, for their families, and for all your people throughout the world. May the light of your truth shine through their lives and their good works. Assist all spiritual fathers that through your grace they may steadily grow in holiness and in knowledge and understanding of your truth. May they generously impart this knowledge to those who rely on them. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Yeah. Beautiful
and John, prayer. The reason why I wanted you to say it was because I simply wanted to end it by saying out there a simple thank you and God bless you to all the priests that serve and that decided to become priests.
And, you know, listeners, if you think about it, where would you be in your relationship with God if you weren't in relationship with some priest somewhere along in your life? We know we all stray and roam around, and we all go away from God and we turn our backs.
We're all sinners.
We're all sinners, yeah. But they're there to hear our confession.
And thank God they're there.
24/7. You mentioned those priests who for years, 57 years, served people 24/7. 24/7. And now they're at the end of their lives. Go ahead, you're going to say.
There's an article in the National Catholic Register, which is a great Catholic newspaper. It's called Unforgettable Images of the Priesthood. And really, you know, who do we honor as heroes in our lives? And truly, when we die and we're judged, we're either going to heaven or not. And who do we idolize in our lives? Who do we look up to as heroes? You know, but these priests, which could help us attain heaven, you know, there's a line in here that really stuck out. And it says, a priest is important not for who he is, but for his unique relationship with Christ and his vital ability to act in our lives in Christ's place. And to me, that sums it all up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what when I go and visit these priests, they have lived or try to emulate Christ their whole entire lives for 65 years of priesthood, that they really don't see the subtle changes that they've become. But when I look at them, I see Jesus, and they act that way. And it's impacted my own life.
They are Jesus.
I want to be them.
Yes.
They're my heroes.
Yes.
I want to be them because they're, you know, emulating my ultimate hero, who is Jesus.
Yes. And they are Jesus. But they're the precious gift from Jesus to us. And that's why it's such a precious gift. We have to hold on to it. We can't let it go. We can't let our religious freedom go, like what happened in the French Revolution. It cannot happen.
Right.
Or what's happening in Nigeria, where the cathedral was bombed and
Absolutely.
137 people were killed
Absolutely.
In church at Sunday service. And it's happening more frequently in other countries. And it can happen here.
And we can't let it happen.
And it
we got to wake up.
All at once. No. It happens gradually.
Slowly.
And you don't see the changes until you compare the big time period. So that's why we have to stop it now before it gets to that point.
And we also, I'd like to stop for just a few minutes and quietly in prayer, we can just say prayer for the young people, middle-aged people, someone looking for a second career, to come back and consider being a priest. And Jesus, we ask you, you are everywhere, and you touch hearts your way. You know the people that you would like to lead flocks, lead people closer to you. And we ask you, Lord, touch those hearts, or touch the parents of those children whose hearts you want, so that they encourage them to step forward and follow the call of Jesus to their heart. John Vianney was called. Father McCabe was called. Right. Louis de Montfort was called. They said yes. They said yes. We are short on priests. In other countries, parishes close. In other countries, schools have closed. In our seminaries, we have just moved our seminarians to gather together in Dunwoody. And seminary that was once full is no longer training priests. It's up in Dunwoody. And you look at the Jesuit orders in the whole eastern province, the number of people studying is so minimal. They don't have enough to staff their retreat houses. All of these are like abortions, because we're losing leaders. We're losing spiritual leaders. And Lord, we ask you, please touch hearts, and please bring those young people into priesthood. Amen.
Amen.
We like to pray for the people who sent in their petitions, and we just extend our hands and we say, Lord, touch all these people. They've been touched by priests, and in their time of need, Lord, send them a priest who will bring them back to you if they're away, or will deepen their love of you if they're already with you. We ask you, Lord, bless them, touch them, and heal them. So many have written for healings. Touch them, Lord. Praise you and thank you.
And Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thanks for those that you did heal, those that you did answer their prayers, those that you found jobs for, those that you cured, those that you found solace in them, and those that are depressed. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and glory.
And I'd like to move to the ending of the show, the last one, Trev, because I like to finish with the prayer, and the song is The Prayer. Celine Dion and Andrea Bocelli. Pray along with us, listeners. Pray along with our singers, so that we can have our church renewed by priests
pray for your priests.
Amen.
I pray you'll be all right and watch us where we go and help us to be
expressing the